This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. Into left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
I had a question about The Drive. Do most people still drive home from work around 5 o'clock?
It doesn't seem so.
No.
We've had a couple of early afternoon exits for like 4 o'clock West Coast games.
Yeah.
And I'm stuck in worse traffic at 3:30 than I am at 6:30.
Yeah, it feels like the workday is shifted earlier in the day. People leave their house earlier in the morning trying to beat the traditional rush hour traffic and then leave work earlier. Anyway, it's 5 o'clock.
Or they just don't go. That seems to also be a thing.
That's all. We're in a remote world, although more and more people are being asked back into the office. And you know, a lot of people just quit.
What?
They did?
Like, no, I'm not going back.
No, I'm not going back. I'm quitting.
You can't make me go to the back.
I'm not going to take it.
Not anymore.
Must be nice.
Yeah, no, it must be nice. I'll tell you what was nice.
What?
See that performance by Crochet last night?
Oh, what a segue. Unbelievable.
So I was a little worried because you know me. I tend to be a little cynical, pessimistic, and this whole weird extra days off for Crochet going into the break, out of the break, this weekend, that weekend. It's like, does this guy always get like 6 or 7 days off?
I mean, he did pass last night. He needed 4 2/3 innings.
He made it.
To reach his innings maximum on a season. He has now gone well past that with no cap set anytime soon. But I think Alex Cora has done a nice job, or the consortium, Andy, of the Brain Trust has done a good job managing him thus far.
And we asked Alex Cora, when we spoke with him earlier today here at Fenway Park, about that management of Crochet, what we've seen and what we're going to see moving forward.
So the management program that you guys are deploying for Garrett Crochet seems to really be paying off. A couple extra days here or there as well. How difficult is that? Because obviously you'd want to run the beast out there as often as possible. And how's the dialogue between management, team, and the player?
Yeah, obviously we want him out there every 5 days, and that's probably the best way of doing it. But at the same time, understanding that this is his first full season as a starter, and you know, we haven't kind of like slowed him down from the get-go. You know, we used to be very careful the first months of the season with our starters and then let him go in May. This year, we were very aggressive, understanding that the schedule was going to slow down at one point. We were going to get a lot of off days throughout the month. I think it's 3 or 4 every Thursday. So we plan accordingly. Everybody remembers the Mets start. You know, we limit him to 80, 85 pitches. But then after that, we gave him the green light to go 100, 110, 115. He decided not to pitch in the All-Star game, which is awesome. And then we push him back 2 days, right, in the Chicago series. We push him back 2 for the next one, and we skip 1, and now he's a full go. And that's very important for us because we do believe there's unfinished business, right? And we need him to be healthy and fresh for the stretch run to do the cool things that we do in September and hopefully October. And he's in a great place right now.
And it's working. He is your pig, your beast, your horse, whatever you want to call him, whatever animal is your choice that day. You look back at sort of the recent outings, 6-2 win last night. He goes 7-inning pitched, 8 Ks, 2 earned runs. You look back before that, 4-2 win, 10 Ks, 2 home runs allowed, unfortunately, but got the win 4-2. 6-1 win before that, he went 6 innings, 1 earned run. Before that, he goes 9, 0 earned runs. Yeah, in my little recent games list here, no more than 2 earned runs, which some of that is with the extra rest mixed in, but I will be interested to see, because no disrespect, Mr. Cora, we love you, mean it. You've lied to us before.
Yeah.
You even referenced one of those lies in your answer.
You guys kept your mouth shut during that.
I was
and,
close.
And I appreciate that, because I could hear both of you screaming in your ear, in your own minds. Like, hey, you
close.
Lied to me on that Mets game.
I was close. Yes, we remember it, because you lied to us right to our faces.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see if this plays out where they just use the Thursdays, just use the off days to manage Crochet, because...
But why not do it?
But I don't want to miss more starts. And I guess my big point here, and this will tie into the next clip and the next question I asked him about Cooper Criswell, and we're going to talk about how important that game was last Friday night here
and
at Fenway
Park.
And
there was no one that had more confidence in him than you.
Nope, no one who had more doubt. And if that's such a big game for you, Alex Cora, there would have been a temptation to put Crochet on the mound. Because I know you think your best chance to win big games is with Garrett Crochet on the mound. And they didn't do that. So I still have this hesitation, like, Not that he's dealing with anything, but that there's just something else to sniff out there with Garrett Crochet and what he is. The velocity was fine last night. It was up. The performance was fine. Like, there's nothing to question there. But that leads us into last Friday night, Fenway Park. As Fitzy noted, I was not a happy camper.
Despondent would be an appropriate word.
Yeah. Out of the playoffs by Monday.
Out of the playoffs by Monday.
Oh, that's right.
Into the World Series by Wednesday.
Lest we forget.
That's how I work around here. Life comes at you fast. But Cooper Criswell, who I was projecting to have pitched two innings because mm-hmm. he had averaged that in his previous three appearances for the Boston Red Sox, sure. he went seven innings. He gave them more than you could probably ever ask for in that situation.
Coming
out of the trade deadline.
You're allowed to use
that. Yeah, coming out of the trade deadline. And what did he get for his services? Well, he got sent back down. But yeah, Alex Cora recaps the importance of that Criswell start last Friday night. So I got to be honest with you. We were here on Friday, post-trade deadline. Mm-hmm. I was cranky. I bet.
I was going to the game that night.
And I was, let's just say, dubious. Cooper Criswell's on the mound, not Crochet. Mm-hmm. How important was that game? I'm a believer in butterfly effect. That was he pitched maybe the game of his career. You guys win in an electric environment. Felt like it jump-started the rest of the weekend.
Yes. What Coop did, I was talking to a buddy of mine today, you guys send down Coop, and that's how it works. But if we, pull this off and we win the division and we do cool things in October, we're going to look back at Cooper Criswell and say that's when he started. He set the tempo. For the rest of the weekend, the guys have maintained the momentum. We're playing a brand new baseball we haven't played here in a while. That inning on Sunday against Framber, running the bases, bunting, hitting the ball on the ground, and the contact play, that was one of those innings that in spring training you envision. At one point, we're going to do all the little things, right? And it doesn't happen. And we did. And we're playing a good baseball team right now with the Royals. We did our job the first two. Michael, he's a tough customer. He's one of the best pitchers in the big leagues. So go out there and try to sweep him. And then, go to San Diego. I think it's Nick, actually, on Friday. Nick Pivetta. Oh, nice. That's going to be electric. Yeah, Skippy's going to be ready for us. And we're going to be ready for him. And it should be a fun weekend.
I did not know that Nick Pivetta's nickname was Skippy.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Where did in the hell does a name like Skippy come from for Nick Pivetta?
I thought I was the guy on the outside looking into the joke that everybody knew.
It either better be Skippy. That he's got this buoyant personality and he's like, Skippy, wee, or that he loves peanut butter.
I don't think it's the personality, because you remember, he bitched quite a bit when he went to the bullpen a couple years ago. He did not come off as a Skippy. Yeah, maybe he calls him
Yippee
Skip.
Skippy.
Maybe he calls him Skip.
Maybe he's a manager in training. No, I'm betting on peanut butter.
Now, when he hates, he hates that nickname.
So maybe that was like a retort to a preemptive strike against Pivetta.
This was not a documented nickname. A quick search along the internets. Nobody has called him Skippy publicly before.
Okay, so see, this is where I should go with my instinct and trust myself and say, wait a minute, did you say Skippy?
Yes, yeah.
Because I thought I just didn't know. You don't want to everybody knows the nickname. Everybody knows the joke and you don't want to bring it up. Anyway. So Nick Pivetta, they'll face potentially in San Diego. Skippy Pivetta out there. Xander Bogaerts, I saw him go deep last
week. I hate it.
Oh, I would not want, as a grown man who's a major league pitcher who's pretty good, to be called Skippy.
Good morning, Skippy.
It sounds like Puppy, Longstocking?
Pippy.
Pippy Longstocking. I do not want to be called Skippy. Anyway, Cooper Criswell gave you the game of his life, although Dan Ball says it wasn't the game of his
life. Put some respect on his name.
It was the game of his life.
I would say that was the game of his life, considering the surroundings. I'm sure I comped it earlier to potentially being the Nate Eovaldi game of this particular season, because everyone credits the Red Sox being able to hold on and turn that World Series around on the 6 2/3 innings that he pitched. It was in defeat, but it was still pretty spectacular. That's the start of Criswell's life. Let's not mince words, for sure.
And it may be the start in the game of the season when we look back on it, just given I know we gave some credit to Seidon Rafaela with the walk-off, and it's been mentioned a few times, but think about what happens if it goes according to your plan and he only goes two innings and he gets booed off the mound and your team gets booed off the field.
You're done.
I'd imagine
you're out of the playoffs by Monday.
You're at least losing that series, if not getting swept, because then you got Framber on Saturday Sunday in a much more confident spot.
And your bullpen's toast.
Exactly. And then you get into a series against a very good Kansas City team. So what we're looking at right now, that 7-game winning streak, is nowhere near it. So probably the game of the season to this point, given where the momentum was sitting going into Friday.
I will say in that answer, too, we don't often, I think, say like cold-hearted Alex Cora. Like, he doesn't have that to him. Bill Belichick has that to him. There was a little cold-hearted Alex Cora. Like, his friend was like, that was a great game, and you sent him down. Yeah, that's how it works. Oh, okay. You don't have to be
mean. Well, sorry about that.
Maybe he'd get a second start.
You know what you can do is you can call him back up again if you happen to need him, yep, because injuries happen, as we've seen also. And you may need 5, 6, and 7 starters. By the way, I took a little walk a few minutes ago before we got the drive going. We saw Giolito throwing a little pen sesh out there. Man, that ball was popping.
Well, he is a major leaguer, and he's pretty good. His ERA. You know, tell him what his ERA since June 10th is?
Very good.
2.03, I believe. 2.03.
No, it's just a difference when you're yay close, me to you distance, and all of a sudden you watch 95 come zipping in.
Yeah.
How the hell do you do? Let alone turn on 104 Mason Miller.
Oh, this is a side note from the drive. We'll get back to that in a second. But I did tell Dan Ball when I was in the park on Friday night, they put up a Bob Stanley highlight reel because Bob Stanley was in somebody's luxury booth and they were showing highlights of him pitching. Yeah, maybe the guns don't lie because Bob Stanley, his ball throw goes like a little leaguer's. Like it had like an arc to it.
It had a little lope to it. Yeah,
you know how it's a breaking ball? No, that's just gravity. It's going so slow that the earth is pulling it down toward the earth. And you compare that to what you see from even the bad guys, Hicks. Hicks is coming in throwing gas. He doesn't know where it's going, but it is going like a laser toward the catcher.
Jordan Hicks throws what we sometimes have at nighttime watching the games, uncontrollable gas.
Yes, absolutely. So I do believe relievers actually throw significantly harder than they did back in Bob Stanley's heyday when he was a key member of a very good baseball team, a very, very good baseball team. We also need to note that we asked Alex Cora. We're not going to play the audio. We did ask him about the Roman Anthony reports, but because it wasn't apparently official, he didn't offer much up, but he did have a big smile on his face while he's talking about it, and I think that gives you every indication, not to mention the trust we have in Jeff Passan and others, that when you tell us that Roman Anthony signed an 8-year, $130 million contract extension, you're not just going to get it flat out wrong. That deal is coming. The details of which, as we find out what it'll be in terms of the escalators, how it could potentially get to $230 million and all of that, maybe that'll play out.
That could still be, if this guy develops like we think he will, Andy, or like lives up to his full potential.
Yeah.
And in 2 years, he's legitimately in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
If it gets up to $230 million, it's still a bargain.
It could potentially be at $30 million a year. If you do that, 8 for $230 is just under 30. It could still be a bargain the way salaries are going, the way they're paying Juan Soto, who, you know, we thought the big jump was, oh, you got to be able to pitch and hit to get crazy money. Nope, Juan Soto got crazy money. You're going to see Kyle Tucker get crazy money this offseason. Contracts are going in a stupid direction. And if Roman Anthony is what everybody thinks he is, and that's the one thing that's been unanimous from day one, Alex Cora, Breslau, everybody, like, their tone changes, their face changes. Yeah, we got a big three, but this one's special. Like, he has been put on a pedestal and then shown himself worthy of that pedestal with the way he's performed, as long as he's not doing what I do, and that's just randomly pulling a back muscle, doing absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. I would like him to avoid that as a 21-year-old. Wait till you're in your mid-40s like me before you do that. But Roman Anthony has been seen as the key cog, the jump starter, the leadoff hitter, whatever you want to call it.
Have
but
us.
Of late, you know who seems to be really important to this lineup, even when he's not in the leadoff spot? In fact, he looks more comfortable batting lower in the order. One, Jarren Duran, and we asked Alex Cora about the importance of Jarren Duran in terms of making this team go.
Is there any one thing that you noticed that helped unlock Jarren Duran or that got him going on the hot streak that he's been on the last couple of weeks? Because we were told in the preseason, Bregman said, so story goes, so goes this offense. But I feel like because of how emotional and physical and how much effort he puts into it, so goes Duran, so goes the whole team.
Yeah, he had a tough road trip when we went to Seattle, San Fran, Anaheim. It wasn't great. Then he came home, had a conversation with the hitting coaches and with Alex, with Breggy. The message was like, swing less. You know, like you're chasing too many pitches. You're actually swinging the pitches you cannot handle. If you strike out looking with a fastball down and away, so be it. You know, like you're not gonna do damage with that pitch. Maybe you can follow it off, but hey, man, you're not doing a good job controlling the strike zone. He started doing that. He started walking when we came back. And when you start walking, you start dominating the strike zone, and with his swing, he's going to do damage. And right now, he's in a good spot. The ball he hit yesterday off the wall, that's another great sign. It feels like hitting him lower in the lineup, and he's still a big part of what we're trying to accomplish. He's in third, fourth, kind of like relax him a little bit.
Yep.
He didn't have to set the tempo. I mean, when you're at home, third out, you go in, you're leading off. Okay, I got to go. You know, they follow my lead. Now it's the other way around. He lets the first two guys do their thing, and then just is a regular at bat. So I think that move helped him a little bit, and we'll lead him off here and there, but he's doing an outstanding job controlling the strike zone.
Since July 1st, guys, he has a 1.6 WAR. He's hitting .306, tied for sixth best in baseball in terms of wins above replacement. And if you use that same metric, the Red Sox have three of the top 16 hitters in baseball since the beginning of July, with Roman Anthony, Trevor Story, and then Duran.
That, with the pitching, is how you win 21 of 27 baseball games.
That's right. How about that, huh?
That's right. It's almost like when all your players play among the league's best, best team.
All those good hitters and like two of the three better outfielders as well, maybe the top starter in all baseball, top five closer. It's weird how when all those things align, those stars, Andy,
right.
You're more than functional. Oh, and you strike out less.
And it's also weird when you stop aligning other things like, I don't know, striking out 16 times, pitcher giving up six runs in the first inning, running into outs, making errors in the infield, making errors in the outfield. When you stop doing all of that, it's much easier to win baseball games.
Yeah.
It's the damnedest thing. Yeah. I do love Alex Cora's tone, though, and this is the second time he said this. I believe he's also told us this about Trevor Story and how he kind of dug out of his funk, this whole swing-less approach. And he says it with, like, a little bit of tone, like, do less.
Right.
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
Do less over there. Swing a little bit less. And I know he's joked about he wished somebody had told him to swing a little less at some points in his major league career because of the quality of his swing. But there's some truth to that. Like, a lot of people think one of the assets of Roman Anthony and the greatness is not how sweet his swing is. It's how sweet he is at not swinging. And the knowledge of the strike zone and all of that, that is so important that I think we lose sometimes. I think me especially, you know, knowing that I'd rather crush a golf ball into the woods than hit one up the middle.
Says a lot.
But like, yep. I think there's a lot of people with a grip it and rip it type mentality. And Alex Cora's like, no, that's not really how you play.
I don't need a 500-foot foul ball.
Nope.
You know, some plate discipline goes a long way. Trust the process, as they like to
look
say.
Look at Ichiro. He just went to the Hall of Fame. Did he ever hit a ball hard?
Yes.
Did he ever hit a ball hard?
I'm being sarcastic, but he kind of slapped
not what
the
he
ball
was
around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, Cora told us in here a couple months back how they were stunned during spring training. Like, hey, how come you're not getting your rips in? And he just walked. He just walked. Roman Anthony, incredible plate discipline and an eye of the tiger. Like, if that's how he rolls, again, that contract could be a bargain.
And finally, here in the drive, we have a little scouting report from the manager. And I want you to listen closely to this answer about Dustin May, who will make his debut tonight for the Red Sox at Fenway Park. But listen closely to the answer and what you take from it in terms of Dustin May's future with the Red Sox. What should we expect from Dustin May tonight in his debut?
Just go out there and compete. We saw him that Sunday, and Alex got a hanging sweeper and hit out of the ballpark, but he did a good job with us. Four-seamer played. The sinker is a good one. The slider is great. We'll talk about usage later on, but not try to do too much. You know, he's been around the last few days. He's enjoying the environment. He comes from a great organization that they've been very successful the last few years. So I don't think he's going to panic out there. So go out there and compete.
Dan Ball, what do you think he meant by we'll talk about his usage later on?
Seems like there may be a plan that involves the bullpen coming up at a certain point. And that makes me wonder, so what's the other move? Is that a Kyle Harrison move? I'm hoping it's not Richard Fitz. All due respect, I'm kind of good on him for now, but
Hooper.
I think it's Kyle Harrison. I think it's Kyle Harrison.
I hope you're right.
I mean, you've seen what Criswell can be.
Yeah.
We kind of know what Richard Fitz is.
Yep.
But what about the potential of Kyle Harrison? Don't you need to, you know, blank around and find out?
Right now, I'm not sure that's the approach I would take.
I didn't mean multiple times. Just
I think
one
I
time.
Would say steady as she goes would be more of an approach. I don't want to blank around and find out with the team the way they're playing.
Right.
But I do, and I don't want to put too much pressure on May tonight. But the one thing that could sort of derail the positive momentum of what is going on.
But don't blank everything up, kid.
Yeah. And not only because we don't know what you are or who you are, but it's what you represent. It's what they didn't do. It's what they didn't bolster.
Joe Ryan. You're supposed to be Joe Ryan.
You're supposed to be Joe Ryan, and you're not. You're actually the guy they scrambled to get when they said, oh, crap, we need a fifth starter. We're just going to go get whoever the hell we can get, and we might overpay for this guy, and we're going to put him out there, and he might even end up in the bullpen in middle relief. Who knows what happens elsewhere. So, May, just go out there and don't suck a lot. What did Lou used to
just
say?
Just suck a little.
That's my barometer tonight for Dustin May. Just suck a little. Be competitive.
What's a good night?
A good night
for him.
Five innings, three runs.
Dustin May, you did your job. You walk off that mound. You swagger like Vince McMahon, head held high. You may not get out there again, but who cares? You did your job.
It's almost a quality start, and the Red Sox are only down 3-1 because Michael Wacha will probably pitch very well again.
That's true.
just don't look terrible. Don't have a 6-run first inning with 3 home runs. Don't force our guy Will Fleming to have that early game tone as another ball.
There's another homer. Ball.
Right. Don't
swing and a pop up. Yeah.
Just be kind of competitive. It can be.
Oh, my.
You can kind of be walking the tightrope. Oh, you got guys on first and second, 2 of the first 4 innings or something. But don't let the wheels fall off the momentum.
Because 2 months ago, 5 innings and 3 runs, you're going, well, we're still probably scrambling. You're going to need to get a run off of their relievers late in the game, as the Red Sox were wont to do. If you do that, this offense is clicking at a level where that's enough to win.
Correct.
That's enough to win a 5-6-3 kind of ball game that we've seen a lot recently.